the wall, you know.
Again, the direct instructional cost, our self-support, I would have to see what it would take to, what it would mean increase in two lines.
I think a lot of something out of it, isn't it? Cause they're hard and it's really wishing that, yeah.
Michelle Bartlett, that's who we're talking about.
Right.
Did you have any more questions on this one, Dave? Alright. Any committee have any more questions on this one? No, we'll go to the next.
Dave, I'll have to send that down to you.
How many more we got left?
Three.
What you got?
Three?
Three.
Art of.
Roulette.
Roulette. We covered some of this yesterday, sharing some questions. Ms. Buckle particularly asked about the Alaskan Native Language Center, so I'd highlight that one for you now. If you turn to page 50 in the skinny book, Research and Professional Centers, under the 70.8 million dollar level, 250,000.4, that is the Alaska Native Language Center, that particular item. Dave, one thing with regard to the question that you asked yesterday about the instruction and academic support component, under the instruction components is the, are two direct instructional programs, Village Art Upgrade and the Correspondence Program.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Scott?
I had one that generally covers the Total Learning Center Program.
The?
Learning Center Programs.
That's actually the next component.
Yeah, that's.
I'd take them both together if you wish, or I don't know if we want to be more specific.
Are there any questions on this one?
I think there was a question I had on Mr. Chairman, but I've been reading through, maybe I'm not on the right page anymore.
Right.
The L page was 171, and the alternates located across rural Alaska, and the requested is for 210 community health aides, 171 alternates.
There was $32,000 for health aid board.
$32,001.
Right. But the.
Don't you have one health aid coordinator now?
Right, this is a, I believe it's a new program request, is it not?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yes.
Yes, I'm there.
Currently, there is a, that individual is supported by funds from the Johnson Foundation.
Johnson O'Malley?
Pardon?
The Johnson O'Malley?
Robert?
No, the,
Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
It's a lower 48 foundation that supports various health programs. This is the third year, I think, of about this basic level of support. They have indicated to us that they have some interest in putting additional money into training of community health aides and health practitioners if the university and the state would show some interest in attempting to support this program. That's why we were asking for it under general fund. An attempt to provide seed money with the idea that the foundation would supply additional costs.
How much is that?
Pardon?
How much is it that they're providing?
Currently, I believe they're providing $50,000 a year. They have talked generally upwards of $250,000 a year if we were able to pick up the base coordinator support. The item for community health aides and practitioners in Kuskokwim deals only with the Yukon-Kuskokwim region. This office would take care of the rest of the state. They have some activities in Northwest, some at the CHAP program right there in Anchorage, and I think Dillingham and a couple of other rural areas.
In the institutional support area, RRDA, which is next to the last page under the tab in the fact book, built into the 78 base is a position for past Vice President Mrs. Ramos, which was included in the supplemental. Now, Mrs. Ramos has already been hired at ACC in the current year. It seems to me we ought to be able to drop that position out of base funding under REA at this time.
If I could speak to that. The item was knocked out of the supplemental on the basis that it was a new program, and that the supplemental was to be only for maintenance level programs. I believe that was the rationale that was used in discussion of the supplemental. I agreed with that rationale, that indeed Mrs. Ramos had been an employee and was maintenance.
Knocked out of the university, or are you talking about the Senate?
The Senate.
Oh, it's still in the House version of the bill, no?
It still is in our, right, that full issue isn't resolved, I guess. That's got a conference between the two committees yet. I would make a plea for it to remain in the 79 request, because currently, although she's being placed at ACC, REA is supplying the money from other sources, unfilled positions, basically, is what's being done to provide that this year.
In the current year, but not in the budget year, however. Didn't she budget at ACC in 79?
No. This all occurred after ACC had prepared the budget, so there is no, that was a new program at ACC and would not be in. We were continuing to request it under REA with the idea of making a transfer to ACC to cover the balance of the entire year. At the time of her placement, Dave, which was only culminated sometime in February, all of these documents had been prepared.
So we could, at the Finance Committee level, move this money then to ACC?
Yes, that would be perfectly acceptable.
Thank you.
Any questions?
But that wouldn't be the same figure, though, Pat.
No, I would.
What would be the amended figure?
It would be at least 20,000 off that figure for next year, bringing it down to around 44. That's probably pretty close, as I recall.
I think that's correct.
Further questions on this one?
Going right along here to Regional Learning Center.
Regional Learning Center.
Question I had there, Mr. Chairman, if I may. There's been some considerable deliberation internally at the university about whether these faculty at the learning centers are properly part of the community college bargaining unit for salary purposes. Has there been a determination made yet?
I believe, I haven't heard, Dave. There was, the hearing was suspended just prior to the Regents meeting. Basically on the notion that the State Labor Relations Agency was going to the Board of Regents with a request to them to determine whether or not the reorganization to include these centers as part of this division actually made them community college faculty. I believe the Regents' response to that was no. The administrative organization did not necessarily automatically declare people faculty. Or community college faculty. Although they were approved in this division had responsibility beyond community colleges. That response was prepared and sent back to the Labor Relations Agency. I believe their continuation of that hearing was Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. And I don't know how that has turned out yet. I've been here. I haven't had a chance to talk to the University Council.
I brought that up, Mr. Chairman, because I assume there could be some significant impact on the cost of this program if they were identified by the Labor Relations Agency as part of the bargaining unit. Their salaries would go up, I think, a major factor.
Right. I'm not sure it would be all that substantial for the individuals. But it would be possible there would be an increase. My University Council leads me to believe that the university is going to prevail in this.
Further question, Mr. Scott? Questions for the members? All right, move on to the next.
The last item is the Cooperative Extension Service. I believe that was 5 years ago that the Kellogg Foundation provided money to the university with the idea that the university would pick up the cost of that program as it moved along. This is the final year, and this would be the final dollar request. the state has put in that money each year, not to the level initially indicated to Kellogg. But this will be the last year of that request. And that's what the $50,000 item is. They have one other request for $55,000 for resource economists and horticulturists. Positions were fully funded prior to the FY78 budget. Both positions were vacant at the initiation of the 78 budget, and mandated budget restrictions necessitated reducing the funding for the positions to less than full time. So I presume Dr. Matthews is attempting to reinstate funding.
Question, Mr. Scott? Question from the members?
What is an editorial specialist here in the last bottom thing without any money?
Right, that's actually a continuation of the narrative from before. The editorial specialist would be someone who reviews the publications that they produce prior to their going to final print to make sure the language is clear and grammatical errors are taken out.
The proofreader for the question.
A little more than that.
The chairman asked me to remind you that we have a meeting at 8:30 in the morning on the National Resource Budget.
Okay, we're here for the purpose of closing the natural resources budget, and I'd like to just start, I guess. How do you want to start, Red? That's a good idea.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would just as soon start in front of the budget and go right through it. I would say, Mr. Chairman, that the subcommittee worked real hard on this, and I guess I got to apologize to Mr. Hogan because I really racked him around and all over the place. We've gone through the budget and we've made some eliminations, and those eliminations that we've made and adjustments that we've made throughout the budget will be, Mr. Grogan will be able to, he has taken all the figures on those. And the subcommittee, two of the subcommittee members are here, and to support what we've done in the budget. So I'd like to start on page 3. Limited entry.
What I would propose to do is just simply go down these items, stating briefly what the plus or minus amounts to, and if there are no questions, just work from the summary level.
Okay.
We don't have anything printed up yet other than one master worksheet as far as something to detail, so I'll just simply have to read the thing to do.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'd like to sit over there alongside Bob.
I can move over there.
Oh, okay, that might be better.
Go through that sheet. I don't have one of those either. All I'm doing is working for my rough draft.
Okay. What I'd like to do is to address these items one at a time, so that if there are objections to the subcommittee's recommendations, I'd like to have a vote on it as we go along. Or if people want to put them off for some reason or other, we can do that also. Further information.
Th- then you would like me to move each agency?
No, no. I'm going to assume that if there are no objections from the committee who are here, or from the ones that are not here, that the recommendations will be adopted by the committee.
Okay, the first item was the limited entry item, and the house figure of 1,077.7 shows a reduction in contractual studies
of 68.4. Is that
whatever that difference is?
Right. It's 245.9 to 68.4.
Well, the 68.4 is a reduction. What is the
adopted figure?
The figure is 177.5 for contractual. All other figures are the governor's.
Okay, what was cut out of there? It says how much.
The other reductions were 380, 68,000.4, and it was a reduction in the consultant fees in limited entry.
Okay. Were they just unspecified consultant fees?
That's right. It's just.
Governor's recommendation there. Next item is the International Fisheries Commission and also the governor's recommended figure. Pacific Marine, also the governor's figure. Law of the Sea, also the governor's figure. Takes us up to Coastal Zone Management Administration.
Before we go further into this, when I attended the public hearing in Bethel on coastal zone guidelines and standards, there were a good number of people that testified. However, I noted that there were a lot absent, particularly from the Yukon and the coastal village areas. And during the testimony, there was mention and request for funding, which could provide for those people who are not able to fund their own travel to be provided that money, so they could participate in this program, because they feel it's very important. And I was wondering if there were any funds provided for that particular purpose somewhere along the cultural zone management budget area.
Mr. Chairman, we had no request for increased travel or any specific amount or any kind of legislation or introduction of legislation we could have used for guidance.
Okay.
If if there's a possibility there, we may be able to accommodate some of that.
Okay.
Mr. Frank.
What the hell do these people do for nigh on $2 million? Coastal don't matter. But all I've ever, I'm living in a coastal area, and all I've ever heard the form is curse work. What good do they do?
Well, I can tell you what they're doing. It's just another bunch of federal money coming into the state, and they're, as a result of all these concerns about, I guess, what's going to happen when we get in the oil business up here. This isn't really all of the money. A lot of their money, a lot of this federal money is also going into the Department of Fish and Game. I'll have some more to say about that later. It's just something that's, I keep the old pot boiling around here.
I'll give you a little different description. It's the management of the coastal resources generally means the use, protection, conservation, and enhancement of those resources. All levels of government involved in the management of coastal resources. There are conflicts, inconsistencies, and gaps in the existent management process. And it's the goal is the Alaska Coastal Management Program to preserve, protect, develop, use, and where necessary, restore the enhancement of the coastal resources of the state for this and succeeding generations. It's just another layer of bureaucracy that's going to tell you, mandated by the federal government, when we take the federal government dollars to rule and regulate whether you can walk on the beach and pick up a rock or not. What it is.
My question was of the $1,889,000 that you recommend. How much of that is general funds?
Mr. Chairman,
$250,000.
Okay, Merle. Mr. Freeman, most of that work presently is being done with the standards and guidelines, and they're taking those on the road. Philip, I don't know how many people showed up in Bethel, but in Kodiak, two people showed up, and Dillingham, I think, three or something like this. Once these guidelines are adopted by us here at the end of this month or the first part of April, then the local plans will be put together coming under these guidelines. And so the main work is still ahead. But until the policy and standards are set, the other plans can't come into it.
Let me comment on this. This is a federal act, and the federal government provides money for it. It actually, the act at least, I don't, as distinguished from the federal bureaucrats for whom I can't speak, but at least the act encourages local planning efforts. They do encourage the local people to come in and make their own plan, just as long as it's consistent with the federal guidelines, which are not all that specific. In other words, local people can come in and do their own planning. I think I'd like to find out about that, what Phil's talking about, because it's one thing to have a meeting in Cordova, and all the people in Cordova can go there. But if you have a meeting in Bethel, it may be, What does it cost to get there from a place like Tununuk or something? It costs a couple $100, doesn't it?
It costs more than that if you look at the local expenses while you're in Bethel.
I don't see how the act itself provides for local participation and local planning efforts, but if you're going to do that in Southwest Alaska, they had in mind,
I think we probably could reach this problem. We don't have to close this specific budget.
Well, what I was going to ask is whether the federal money can be used to help send people in from the villages.
I think that,
excuse me, Mr. Chairman, until there is an active group in the unorganized borough, until there's some group set up officially, there'll be no money
tree planting or in anything until there is, at least under the nature of the act, until an advisory group from that area has been set up.
Okay, but once an advisory group's been set up, then the money can be used?
That calls for an election out of the Lieutenant Governor's office, special election forward. It's a long process to get to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the thing there is, if we, those people responsible for the conducting of these testimonies are traveling out to those remote areas where participation by the local resident is very limited because of expanse areas. And those people that go in to conduct these hearings are wanting to get information, some input from the people themselves as to what their concerns are. And what you just said, Merle, is a hindrance to their very participation.
I agree, but also you're a public member on the commission itself that represents that area of the 9 public members. Quite often it's easier to give public input to him or to her.
There again, Mr. Chairman, our public member in the Yukon Kuskokwim area, Stan Poffin, or his alternate is Vince Beans. And that area is approximately 80,000 square miles. And we're looking at the entire Yukon Kuskokwim and the coastal village areas. And that makes it pretty hard. At that public meeting which I attended in Bethel, the hearing started at 7:30 and ended at about 1:30, which is about 5.5-6 hours. And I'm sure a lot more would have come if we had the funds to travel.
Seems to me there's kind of a special problem in that regard. I mean, if we're really going to have local participation, we ought to have it. Earl?
Okay, question. What are they doing that they can use a nearly $2 million budget that they can't provide that travel money, if that's what you're proposing, out of that rather than upping the figure? Why don't they use part of that they have?
Write the legislative intent that affect something like that.
Well, I think we need to find out from the administrators of the program or people claiming to know about such things whether the money can be used for that purpose or not. And if not, we ought to come back and address the question as to whether we ought to use general funds for that or not. Because otherwise, the very purpose of the act, which is local planning, is converted. That's the way I see it anyway. Well, all right, I suggest that we hold, what was, I'd like to hear the recommendation to start with.
Well, the recommendations, we adopt the proposal. We didn't change the CZM budget at all, I don't think.
Okay, I'd like to hold it open then.
All right.
I'd like to ask Bob to pursue that question as to whether federal monies can be used for that purpose. And if not, I'd like to come back and address the question. Bob?
Well, I'd just point out a couple of things. Basically, if for those of you that are looking on in the short form, the $1.6 million figure, which is in contractual services, is money that's passed on to other agencies. Basically to fund positions that exist in other agencies. The grants portion of this is handled in the development budget and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. So in answer to your question, more than $250,000 exists in that contractual line item. In other words, this is the money more or less matched equally in each line item. There really isn't any distinction as far as travel is concerned or contractual or anything else.
Let me ask you a question. I thought that the grants was handled development also, but I see in this $300,000 or $700,000 grants to local government. Is that a different figure or is that a doubling up?
No. That's a different figure. There's no detail on it.
So they got $700,000 here and then whatever amounts in development.
Right. No, I don't know what the distinction is, but they're two different things. The
can we, Bob, could we put in an intent then that some of the contractual money, so much of the contractual money is necessary to be used to transport people in the affected areas to the hearings that they should be at? I'm not familiar with the level of hearings that take place, but it seems to me if they're going to, it just doesn't make any sense, because the people on the coast are affected, you know, by this plan, and to have a meeting in Bethel that costs each one of them $200 to get there, hell, you lose the whole purpose of the act, seems to me.
Yes, I'd like to just follow up on that. The subcommittee recommendation is the governor's figure in all line items except for a $50,000 reduction in travel, and the way we stand right now. I don't think there would be anything to prevent you from shuffling these things around the line items any way you wanted to. If you wanted to stay within the governor's figure, or if you wanted to raise it with general fund, or if you wanted to lower the match general.
You see, Stephen, the governor has raised his own travel just a horrendous amount, $683,000. And that's travel for the directors and the commissioners and all of the campaign slush fund. And I don't see why, as long as we're going to use that kind of stuff, why we can't go into this piece of legislation and give some of that money to the people to move in and out of these in and out of these meetings.
I just I would note though, what was the, there is a big difference here, nearly $60,000 in travel.
Well, let's earmark that. We can earmark that for people to bring people in rural Alaska to do their pick up their ticket.
Okay. Well, what did they say about the reason for this over three times the increase? Over triple the previous year's budget. What do they say about that?
$47,000 for boards, commissions, and legislators. That's the new part, you see. 10 trips in state, has 9 council members, $200,000, per diem for the above. I don't know how they got legislators tossed in there, but that's what $47,000 of it is, too, for boards, commissions, and legislators to attend council meetings state. At least that's what I
said.
Isn't that right, Bob?
They send out invitations.
Would you, again, Mr. Chairman, would you want to limit, would there be any ceiling on the amount of people that if everybody in the community, say, well, just take Bethel, if everybody that's on the coast wants to come in, all the families or the heads of the families, would you limit it to 100 people or 5 people or 1 people to a village, or how would we do it?
I think you could reasonably limit it to, you know, one spokesperson for a village, okay, even, or something like that, but they have to adopt some kind of guidelines there.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the experience has shown in my region that the villages prefer to send in 1 or 2 from each village. There wouldn't be only one individual that's making an entire decision for the people back home.
You might do it by resolution.
Okay, Merle.
I was just saying that commenting on the $47,000, I think we've all received invitations to attend any of these meetings, and they will pay our way for general to wherever they're holding the meeting. I think the act itself, this point, maybe includes an awful lot of local participation until they get down to the individual plans for the regions, and they're nowhere near that yet.
Okay, Pete?
Yes, in regards to what Mr. Snyder just mentioned about the legislators going to these various meetings, we just had Coastal Zone Management Committee just had a meeting in Valdez and one in Cordova at the end of the first of March, and I checked with to see if transportation was paid for the legislator in the district, and it was not. I would have to pay this out of my own pocket.
I don't know. I received an invitation, and if I wanted to attend the meeting in Kodiak, my way would have been paid.
Okay.
all goes to show you what you get by being in a majority.
I guess that's right.
I don't know.
Or in the area where they're being.
How about if we add the following, and Leo, excuse me.
We were talking about how they spent the money on this thing. I'll give an example of what happened in Homer. I don't know what restrictions they got. But they came in there and they set up, first they advertised a free dinner. And the meeting started at 6 and they fed everybody at 7. And then they held the preliminary before between the meeting started and the dinner. They paid somebody to cater the dinner, they paid somebody to serve it, and they paid 10 chairmen $100 each for conducting the chairman's meeting. So I figured up they must have spent $3,000 for that meeting just to get about 80 people out in spite of the free dinner.
Incidentally,
so they spent it free.
How was the dinner?
Had, you know, if you guys want to pitch into any of
this,
it's
pretty important.
Well, okay, how about if we add the following intent,
all right.
Okay, or something along this line, where meetings are held for the purpose, are held for the purpose of gathering local, Christ, I hate to use the word input. Somebody got something better than that?
Information.
Local
participation.
For the purpose of
local participation.
All right, I'll say gathering local input as bad as I hate it. The traveling, the travel expenses of village participants. Shall be paid that's close enough.
Because
they can designate who the participants are.
Should there not be a provision in there to determine a radius from the particular meeting site so that you can pay everybody's fare all the way to the village, and then somebody else who is living in another community who didn't get any money for going someplace could be even further away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe what we ought to say is villages that aren't connected by the road system or something like that. I wonder how that would be. Because in Bethel, those people come from a long way away.
Well, just you could probably work out some kind of a mileage system.
Don't they have a local government in all those villages up there? They have somebody that's mayor.
Might want to
put in there something about two spokesmen per village, too. See.
Well, I think they can determine who the village participants would be. In other words, you obviously can't ship everybody and everybody in the whole village here, but one or two people.
Yeah, I was just suggesting that.
I think I've seen instances in which you would want more than two, because some guys speak, for instance, for a particular interest group, like the Whalers or the people who gather walruses and Zodiac or something like that, and other people might be speaking from the village. I wouldn't think you'd want to limit them. We can work on this intent a little better,
a little more.
Mark, can you know what we're trying to get at anyway?
I don't see any problem with the intent you have there.
Okay.
You might be better off doing what you want this way than trying to nail it down any tighter.
Okay.
Are you going to leave the reduction in travel then, or were you going to put that back with that intent? I mean, I'm just asking.
We reduced it by
60,000, 50,000, which was the travel for those meetings.
We should put it per diem for them too.
That's traveling. This included traveling.
I don't know whether we've got a budget now to do that. Of course, how do you know?
You want to add a couple hundred thousand?
No.
No, I was thinking about just putting it back to the original figure.
Just put back the original figure and just tell them to use that. You want to do that, Rick?
Objection.
Well, why don't we say, how much was left out? 50-something thousand?
Exactly, 50 even.
Well, why don't we say up to 50,000? That's a, they can get a lot of people in a lot of meetings.
Yeah, well, you want it, I think we have to earmark it.
All right.
If we put the money back in there, you know damn well it's gonna, the governor's gonna do the traveling and his people. And the objective here is not for that kind of travel. The objective here is to get the people in, so we've got something besides that professional group of people that fly around all over the state.
Okay.
And I hope that we can earmark it to that effect.
Okay, well, why don't we get Bob to draft an appropriate intent statement that we use for that, that money that, which, that fell out for that purpose.
We have our leaders over at Japan taking another bath.
It isn't a matter of traveling, it's a matter of who travels.
That's right. That's why you sure hit it.
All right, well, we agreed on what we're going to do then on coastal management.
Okay.
Figure. Okay, proceed.
Okay, the other section of the CZM budget, the NOAA section, the subcommittee recommendation is the governor's figure. Fish and game licensing. Subcommittee recommendation is also Governor's figure. And Department of Natural Resources, Land Management, Central Office, Subcommittee recommendation is Governor's figure. Land and Water Director, Governor's figure.
Oh, this guy. This Water Director, what's his job?
Do you want to read that?
you. Ted Smith. Ted Smith.
Mr. Chairman, to yeah, well, I, Mr. Chairman, to Philip, I think it would be well if you looked at the proposed regulations that just came to our desks about water quality and water regulations.
That's out of the EDC, environmental control.
That's right, and you want to take a look at that to see what kind of trouble you're in if you ever wade across any of your creeks.
Yes,
it is.
No, it's not. It's not in this at all. It's
well,
environmental, right, conservation.
I left it in there. And also, I have a recommendation for added into this budget for $50,000 for the continuation of the state's participation in the Nisqually Kenai Soldotna Water Supply Study. Now, that is a study that's been going on. And I would recommend that we adopt this, that we add the $50,000 in there, and this was a recommendation from the Speaker of the House for Kenai. And it's just a continuation of that work down there.
That's on page what, 29?
That would be on page 27.
27. So it's the governor plus the 50,000.
Plus 50,000.
And that's general funds, right?
Right.
That would be... that would be with legislative intent spelling out what the money is for.
Yeah.
The continuation of the state's participation in the Nisqually Kenai Soldotna Water Study. And it's a joint study by the borough, the state, and the
oil companies. Carbon chemical.
USGS.
$75,000.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
50,000.
All right. Okay.
Okay, the next component would be water management. Governor's figure there. Cadastral engineering, governor's figure.
Okay, let me go back here for a minute to water management. We got a bill in that I forget what, I think it's in rule, to fund the Department of Natural Resources to give them a one-shot deal to close up their backlog for applicants. applications. If that goes through, are these people going to be needed here, or?
Well, this would finish this. I'm under the impression, and I probably have to go to Leo here, that this would finish this study.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Just one project.
Yeah.
I don't know about it. Well.
No, I'm talking about the new bodies on board for water management. You got four new people in there.
Steve?
Yeah. 29.
You can take care of that in free conference.
Yeah. I just wondered if it would. In other words, if any of these new positions are related just to a backlog, we might consider that. I see an indication down there that it's not. But, okay. Well, I'll drop my question anyway. Cadastral engineering, you see?
Right. Okay.
District operations, government figure.
All throughout the.
No, southeast. In the case of South Central District, there's a general reduction made in contractual. Governor's figure in contractual is 326.3. The House Subcommittee recommended figure is 254.3.
What is the difference there? What's the general reduction?
Right.
Was there?
It's $72,000 less.
Is $72,000 left at this point?
Less.
Yeah.
Just six.
Hmm. What's the YTD? Of course, it's hard to tell about contractual. People get their bills. Have we got the Haugen report here?
It's over in.
You guys paying attention to me for a second?
In the meantime, was that contractual money spelled out in any way, Bob?
The reduction or the?
The 326. Figure and all. Did they just say we just need that much money?
No, it's documented here. The problem is that it's kind of hard to go back and find exactly what this reduction was in that all the districts are put in here together. I don't know that we can tell you exactly what it was.
Okay.
You know what? Why don't they separate these districts out? Well, I think in the future, Bob, you know, why don't they separate these damn districts out?
Well,
to me,
oh yeah, I can tell you what it was.
It's possible to find out what they're doing where, because
yeah,
it was all into one big.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it was the reduction. Part of it was standby on the fire. 72,000.
Okay.
We left 254,300. We just reduced that. That's just money put in limbo and just in case. And we reduced it 72,000.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just standby funds.
What's the final number, Red?
Well, the total number.
The final number would be 254.3.
No, I mean the total.
1372.9.
Red, where'd you see that out on the flyer?
On third page 37, bro. Sure.
Well, I know, but I mean, in the red book, I don't see that
broken down as part of the chart.
It's on page 434.
Helicopter standby for fires.
Are you going to be down at 9:30?
Yeah.
Okay, what was this interagency? No, that's not in there.
North Central District got the governor's figure. Otherwise, the governor's figure, of course.
What are the numbers?
From the personal services governor's figure, travel is 32,000 even. Contractual is the governor's figure, commodities governor's figure, and equipment is 12,000 even.
Okay, what did they want that? It says replace equipment. Did they do any better than that? It isn't that, you know.
They just wanted a new toy.
That's your electric gimmick. That's your electric screwdriver for $184.
Electric screwdrivers and things like that.
Okay, what are the final numbers?
Added accounts, really.
Do you want the equipment or do you want the total? It's 1,007,000.
Okay. Bob, what was the travel?
32,000. Down to 40.3, down to
30,000.
Okay, public
32,000.
Publications, total of the governor's figure.
Is this where we got this fancy thing here? That part of it?
Part of it.
You know, you looked at the paper on that thing, it cost you $5 a sheet.
More than that.
That paper.
That cover cost $100.
The sheet.
I don't believe that's ours.
That's the university.
It's a university.
Ours is pretty similar to this thing.
Would you like it?
Fishing game looked just like it.
It's not ours. Nature ours.
Would you like that? Cut your fingers if you start to get what? Careless to get to it.
I would like to. That's a good question, though. What is this stuff? What do they put out? What good is it doing?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Our publications section prints the various reports that the geologists put together. They handle several different information functions that are required by statute.
Like what? Just as an example.
Fishing game reports.
No. This
advertising.
Is investigations of certain oil field studies or geological formational studies.
Okay. How much?
Well, we didn't cut them.
Have we got any oil field studies?
Do I really know what they publish? It's right here. Assist in the preparation of 20 reports designed to assist decisions by natural resources related to oil, gas, coal, leasing, land selection, and classification. Published 4 issues of the Mines and Geology Bulletin. Published 15 open file reports for areas investigated concerning oil, gas, coal, leasing. Published 4 geological reports for areas investigated described above. Published 3 special reports synthesizing geological hazards in the state.
Is this the earthquake section?
It's earthshaking.
It's the disaster section.
Well, post you some mail out to be a 100,000.
Okay. Subcommittee recommendation is the governor's favor.
All right. Okay.
General laboratory is also the governor's figure. Regulations and information, also governor's record. Administration, governor's figure. Leasing management, governor's figure. Petroleum management is the total is 569. $100,000 less than $100,000 is taken in personal services, and the reduction is made for excess vacancy.
18 months.
What is it? Position's not filled.
This is not Easy Gilbert's shop, is it?
No, sir.
Joe Green's.
Who is it?
Joe Green's. It's a new division, and they're very technical type people, and there has been difficulty attracting
But if the funds are cut and you have the ability to track, then you'd have no way to pay them.
Okay.
That would be the problem.
Okay, what is the purpose of this program? How does it interrelate with the Division of Oil and Gas?
Mr. Chairman, the Division of Oil and Gas is its primary responsibility is conservation. You recall, sir, when the Division of Lands reorganized a year or 2 years ago, really, the land and water management function, which Ted Smith heads, had the surface responsibility. This division, working under Title 38, has the subsurface responsibility.
Yeah, but what? In other words, conservation is no more than management of a petroleum, of an oil field. What do these guys do that Gilbreth shot? Shouldn't be.
Well, one of the things that happened, there were some functions consolidated, but one of the problems that the Division of Oil and Gas had, and it had apparently come up in some court cases, which I'm not familiar with, but there was a conflict of interest that was pointed to in Easy Shop, and that was that it not only a problem to conserve on the one hand, but the state is an owner. And you had a conflict of interest of getting your money out or conserving. And this had come up in a couple of cases where it's like encouraging an industry on the one hand, and on the other hand, coming back in and checking it. It puts you in a position of two different functions that could be at cross purposes.
Well, I see where that comes from. It comes from the Pipeline Commission and all that other. But it seems to me that's what Gilbreth is for, to protect the state's interests. I suppose he has a quasi-judicial function, I suppose.
His function is strictly regulatory.
Yeah.
Oil and gas is strictly regulatory.
One of the functions of this division, sir, is to maximize revenues from leasing. And it's in that end they go, establishing lease sales of lands and whereas Easy Shop comes back in, they're checking the meters and the conservation practices on the ground.
Well, this whole thing, has Easy got any people there now, or is he still having the same problems he used to?
No, he's got people.
See, we took them out from under the Collective Bargaining Act, so he could deal and pay his people whatever they were worth on the market.
Right. His staffing is much better now. I think there may be an opening or two, but he's in much better shape.
All right, here's the thing, okay? I don't know how extensively the state has really looked at this business of the DOSHA report, but it's going to come up. It's going to come up in the context of this suggestion that we participate in the financing of the gas line, and which, of course, we haven't been presented with any kind of proposal, but the state's going to have to, I tell you, and we're going to look at it from the standpoint of the feasibility of the whole damn project, gas line. And in doing that, we're going to have to resolve that question that DOSHA raised. And recognize everybody saying, oh, he didn't know what he's talking about because he was only paid $15,000. We don't necessarily accept that brush of approach. I'm a little worried, frankly, about the adequacy of the state's abilities in this area. I don't think we need the Texas Railroad Commission, but maybe we can get a contract and bring them up here or something.
They do have that legislation that's in the both houses now, 503 and 830, which addresses this whole question.
How is it 503 and 830?
Senate Bill 503 and House Bill 830. The hearings will be held next week now.
Pattern after the Texas Railroad.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
it is pattern after the Texas Railroad Commission.
All right. Well, how would that change this structure?
It would take all of oil and gas conservation right out of the department.
All right.
And it would set it up under a separate regulatory commission.
Okay.
Okay. What I'd like to do, excuse me, Merle had something.
All right.
What I'd like to do is, Brad, is leave this open if we could. This would be affected by the legislation anyhow, I imagine, would it? All right. Are you, would this division be afflicted with the same problems that, that Easy had? Now you would be, wouldn't you?
Yes. You mean as far as being able to
recruit somebody that knows what you're talking about?
That's the problem with the vacancy here. You know, you're looking at really high-paid professional personnel in minerals and, you know, management, petroleum engineers, et cetera.
You got to go buy them from the oil company.
We do.
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly what it is. And they pay a lot more than we do.
Okay. I'd like to leave this from open. There's no objection.
Well, there's some other parts of the budget that kind of relate to that same philosophy, Mr. Chairman, of we funded people for $40,000 and $45,000, and they haven't hired them for 4 years. And in this particular page, if you just take a look at the snow job that we're getting here, they're asking for, out of the general fund for these positions, $16,000, $20,000, $28,000, $21,000. And that sure as hell don't sound like the people that they're talking about.
Well, let's move. All right. Why don't we leave this open on this? Okay. Page, why don't we go ahead and page 59?
Okay. Minerals Management is the governor's figure. Administration on also governor's figure.
Tell me one more time. What is mineral and energy management? What is that?
Sir, that's the division that's responsible for the subsurface management. Minerals, the leasing policies, developing leases, and attempting to maximize revenues to the state.
All right. Does this include oil and gas people or just hard rock minerals?
There are both. There are some oil and gas people in here, but their functions are different than oil and gas conservation.
But you do have some people, all the people that have anything to do with lease policy and really management of
are within
resources.
Right.
Underground resources. All right, okay.
In oil and gas conservation, again, a reduction of vacancy. All other line items except personal services are the governor's figure. And there were four vacant positions deleted, and I have the PCNs written down. And the four new positions were allowed, requested by the governor. But four excessively taken positions were deleted.
Okay, this is, I take it, easy shot.
Yes, sir.
This is what I was referring to, Mr. Chairman.
63.
Okay, well, are these vacancies the positions that they couldn't fill because they couldn't pay them enough money, and then what we're doing is creating the positions? I mean, is it that kind of dance? Because if that's what we're doing, we can cut those positions and add these others in. Follow. In other words, is what we're doing here when Red's cutting these positions out for vacancy, is what we're doing just simply
cutting
positions out and putting them back in the other side, which is...
We're putting them in under the category that they're supposedly supposed to be,
yeah,
in 49, 56, 49, and in that area.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, but they got...
I'm not sure.
They have those funds back there still for those other positions, Mr. Chairman.
That's what
and
I'm
we
asking.
Took those out and authorized these. Now, those are positions where they don't have anybody, but they got the money.
I'm not sure what the positions are that have been.
They've never been hired, so there's nothing there but the money.
Positions are a petroleum engineer, a chief petroleum geologist,
petroleum geologists and petroleum engineers.
Right.
Two petroleum engineers at 40, about 37,000, a chief petroleum geologist at 41.3, and a petroleum geologist at 37.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
51.4.
That's ones that are dedicated. Pardon?
Those are the ones that are cut.
Those are ones that were recommended being cut, right.
What page?
I just have
four of the positions in the latest PBR have been vacant. These are geologist engineer type positions. They've been vacant since August of 76. And one position, which was deleted, has been vacant since July of 74. And it's being budgeted at approximately 40,000.
Right.
Two positions have been put on in the classification that you mentioned earlier, outside the state system, and they're budgeted for 48,000 and 38,000.
Okay. I guess what we're saying, Pat, is it looks like there's a double budget thing. Okay. Okay. What were your figures on the subcommittee?
Everything's the governor's figure except for the personal services, and that's 671.1. If you totaled 941.2.
That's 941.2.
I can check.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
If you look at the fiscal year 78 authorized, you'll see that 661,000 was spent in personal services.
Well,
and
yeah, that's.
I'd suggest that, that was the authorization. You have to go to, of course, the FY 77 actual. One of the problems in personal services, I understand where the subcommittee is coming from, but these funds aren't used in personal services. We lapse them, and the administration has some very significant requirements. The one thing that the only authorization we have to use personal services is to when we might contract for something to be done when we can't get the people. And
right.
I think one of the things that the committee would want to consider is the flexibility in this area.
Mr. Chairman, I would object to that type of shifting the monies in that department over there, because what they're doing really is taking that $600,000 or so, whatever that money is, and using it for a contract. They're shifting from one area to another. And I object to that type of thing. If we're going to do the budget, let's do it and put the positions in.
Okay. I think what they're saying is that because of that, and then you might correct me if I'm wrong, I think what they're saying is that before, they weren't able to get these guys in because they couldn't, the salary levels were too low, so they had to contract out the services, but you shouldn't have a problem anymore.
Well, no, I think what I'm saying is that's the only way we could spend personal services, and I don't recall an instance. There may have been a rare one where that was done. I don't believe it's been done here, but that's the only way we can move it. So then if we don't have the people, we in fact would lapse the money.
Okay. What's the YTD on that, on personal service? It's right.
412,880. Balance 248,120.
What percentage is that?
37.5.
Remaining balance?
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Check it. I might be wrong.
All right. Okay, just some personal services.
I think this fiscal year he's running really very close. We're just looking at our end of February reports, and he may even be running over a little bit. At the end of, when we get our February run, that would be paid through February 15th, and so there should be 37.5% of our appropriation left for payment in a very rough way.
Yeah, those positions are vacant, and have you contracted this out? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just exactly.
Where'd the money go?
Well, it's probably the levels that they're paying them. They're open, and those things are being negotiated each time, as I understand.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They're not being paid what they're in the budget for, but we approve it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've made them exempt, and you've given some flexibility, and it's kind of bargain.
We gave Yeah.
No, I remember doing that. I just didn't understand that. That's what I'm saying.
I'd like to maybe just leave a star on this. We'll close it at this time, but I'd like to leave a star on it just because of this possible reorganization of the whole thing for the same reasons. Pat?
Easy will be here next week. He probably can really answer all your questions, and he'll be here in conjunction with the hearings on the.
Okay, I think we may have to shift all this around anyhow if we adopt this proposed statute.
Also, Mr. Chairman, I'm reminded that Joe Green, the Director of Minerals and Energy Management, will also be here next week.
Mr. Chairman, are we going to go back through this budget again?
No.
I hope not.
Well, Red, you know, I got to go to the conference with this budget. Sure, I got to know what's going on, okay?
Right. I agree with you.
I just want to, and I've got a particular interest in this section because if we don't, because I feel like the state has got to engage in proper field management of this oil and gas. So, and we're thinking of changing the whole way we do it. And if we do that, we have to shift the budget around, is what I'm saying.
Right. That's all. But, I think we both have responsibility here to see that the money is spent properly and not. Right. Circumvent us like these end arounds, just like this one is. That was the reason that we, that particular reason that we did this in our committee work.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead to 65?
Aye.
The Royal Oil and Gas Board, the line item figures are all identical to the governor's rec, with the exception of contractual services, which is $100,000 general deductions from the EDS.
Okay, that leaves a figure of 195.7.
Oh.
All right. Okay. That appears.
Fire Protection State, Governor's figure. Fire Protection BLM, Governor's figure. Research and Technical, the figure is 90.3. The only difference between the subcommittee recommendation and the governor's figure is the addition of the agency requested the agronomist position, which was disallowed by the governor, and the subcommittee recommendation is to add that position on to the governor's figure.
Which one?
Fiscal 2?
Page 6.
One position.
No, I'm sorry.
We added the position at the moment.
Page 73. Management and timber sales, governor's figure. Administration, governor's figure. Then land administration and support, land management, governor's figure. And classification, the subcommittee figure is 282.8 for the total. The new position was deleted. That was allowed by the governor in the research analyst position, and a general reduction in contractual services was made of $16,300.
Say that again. A decrease?
Right.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Freeman?
Could I ask him?
I see what you see already.
Okay, home site. Are we putting a crimp in these guys' style, making some effort to move on with this program?
I think that the deletion was due to the description of the jobs. I don't think it had a damn thing to do with it.
Well, I mean, are we?
I think, no, I don't think we're jeopardizing the other reduction of the $16,000 was an excessive telephone bill.
Why
Get into that, do you?
What did you talk about?
Research analysis of coastal zone management.
You know, I don't think we got anybody here we can ask a question of, but has the, Bob, do you know whether the governor has taken into consideration the fact that if RCA is granted this rate increase, you know, it's going to double the cost of phone calls. I wonder if he's thought about that. Yeah. We're going to be sucked by a hell of a big bunch of supplemental if that goes on.
Yeah. Speaking to this position, if I could. There's a certain amount of coastal zone management money that comes to the division, and that's what this is, not general fund. So a position like this is entire, well, it's interagency receipts to us, but federal money into DPDP, which distributes them.
Right.
Free position.
Mr. Chairman, in answering your question, the question has been discussed, so they are aware of it, but no action's taken in the budget anyplace. So I don't know exactly what the solution would be if that rate hike comes about, but it's not covered in the budget at any rate.
It's
kind of
done
to
the trials we can take.
Large supplemental.
We get some honesty out of our Public Utilities Commission that we could take in that rate off of that interim rate increase that we use. That's where they're not only doing it in the rate increase, but they're really doing it to us there, too.
All right. Well, okay. Mr. Rivers.
Let's go back. What was your figure on contractual?
66.3, and we reduced it to 50.
Okay, I want to raise that question again. The narrative here says that the increase in contractual 38.7 to increase land disposal. And in again, getting back to the home site program, it's my understanding that the way they're handling that is to contract for the surveying and this kind of thing, because they don't have the staff on board to, so they can classify and dispose of home site land. And my question is, are you?
By the way, they did increase for the RCA thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There is a
We're getting off the subject, Johnson. I got my own problem.
Mr. Chairman,
Phil, let Oral.
Yeah, I did. I don't
follow this.
I was just.
It doesn't say anything about this.
Mike, again, I'll rephrase the question.
Where is it?
Mr. Freeman.
I hope I'm on the right page. I'm on the right page 83 of the short form. Land administration support classification proposal. In their narrative, they say there's a increased contractual 38,000.7 to increase land disposals. And if I understood Mr. Grogan, you have reduced contractual figure
16,000.
You're not, my question is, you're not, are you cutting down on that land disposal program? What I'm trying to say, Mr. Swanson, if I may, Mr. Chairman, what I'm trying to say is that I have a feeling that they're not rushing ahead on this as fast as I would like to see them do, and I don't want to give them an excuse by saying, well, one of the reasons I don't do it is because it, guys in finance chop my budget.
I would make a recommendation to the committee that we restore the position and put a letter of intent that this position specifically will be used for hippie home site selections. I don't use the word hippie home site. I apologize for that, Mr. Chairman, but I would specifically like to see that the intent, if we're going to put the position in there, I'd like to see that that man does exactly what Representative Freeman wants him to do.
Well,
because he's not going to do it under Mr. Smith, unless we kid one another.
Okay.
If you give him 100 positions.
But if this guy's being funded by CZM money, I don't imagine he'd do that.
Well,
that was
my point. Well, this was Mr. Freeman's point that I was cutting out the
he's talking about
homesite legislation, or the backup for homesite, and that's not here. But
okay, Pat.
Well, I had a question, sir. That as I understood the contractual cut, it was for excessive telephone calls. And what we have in this particular budget, the preceding component of land management has a telephone bill of $35,000. Now that's Mike Smith, that's his. And this component has a $8,000. And so I guess I didn't catch all of it when they said it was mostly for telephone calls. But I was trying to just, on my notes, try to find out what the other cuts in contractually.
And further response to Mr. Freeman's question, yes, indeed, that would cut down on the ability to be able to dispose of land.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
Mr. Chairman.
Phil.
I just want a clarification on this land disposal thing. Is this applicable only to a home site areas,
no.
Or what does it include?
All land before it can be disposed of must be classified. That involves the process of determining the best use of the land, resource inventory. It goes to not only home sites, it goes to the, for instance, the agricultural disposals, any lease sales that we have. Trying to think of any other disposal programs.
Agriculture, lease, land leases, and that's another one.
Land sales.
I see. Yeah. We've been using this money to classify a plan for agricultural purposes, too.
No, I mean, it'd be in the classification process.
No, where's the description for this position? Well, I'd like to point out that. This is coastal zone management. This position, which allows for the continuation of coastal zone management work currently being done by a temporary employee. Again, Mr. Chairman, that would have nothing to do with a home site in Healy or Ketchikan or Juneau or wherever they've been allowed.
Well, I think Oral's question, though, Red, was not as to whether the person should be in there to do that, but 16.3 in contractual funds is what the design stood to just.
Oh, we're looking at page 83 on contractual. The governor's figure was 66.3 and we reduced it to 50. We took $16,300 out of that, and the reason was the over expenditure in telephone recommendation was for telephone calls, unless I read it wrong.
Okay.
I wrote request for telephone was too much, and that's what I wrote in my
okay.
Telephone budget is only $8,000. Telephone.
Chairman, I move we restore it to 66.3.
Okay, all in favor of restoration of the figure to 66.3, raise your hand. Okay, all opposed? Okay, it will be 66.3 then. So that'll make the total 299.
299.1.
It's personal services.
Yeah, those.
Clock is 5 minutes slow, Mr. Chairman.
It's 5 minutes slow?
It's 4 minutes.
What's the right time?
4 minutes.
4 minutes, Joe.
That's a good place to stop. That's a quick place anyway, isn't it, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, why don't we fold her up and come back at 1:15 and keep going, making pretty good progress. We already get through this.
See, before we go, I talked to you yesterday about this bill.
Okay.
That I wanted to see if we had committee interviews.
Okay. You want to explain it?
What it is, it's a $110,000 appropriation for a establishment of adult home for disabled adults in Southeast Alaska. Yeah, one
without prejudice to our votes on the merits of the bill, is there any objection to this bill being put in as a finance committee bill?
What is it?
No. Not on my part.
Okay.
This one here.
For development for the disabled adults.
Profit organization.
Right.
Go ahead.
That's a while.